Simply by yawning, the demon Bala created three kinds of women, known as Swayamini, Garmini, and Kunchali. The Swayaminis like to marry men from their own group, the Garminis marry men from any group, and the Kunchalis change husbands one after another. If a man enters the planet of Atala, these women immediately capture him and induce him to drink an intoxicating beverage made with a drug known as Hataka. Cannabis indica. This intoxicant endows the man with great sexual prowess, of which the women take advantage for enjoyment. A woman will enchant him with attractive glances, intimate words, smiles of love, and then embraces. In this way, she induces him to enjoy sex with her to her full satisfaction. Because of his increased sexual power, the man thinks himself stronger than 10,000 elephants and considers himself most perfect. Indeed, illusioned and intoxicated by false pride, he thinks himself God, ignoring impending death. Text 17. Tatara dashta aditale haro bhagavan hatakeshvara sva parashara bhuta kanavitaha prajapati sarko kaprim hanaya pavo pavanya saha mituni bhuta aste yataha pravita sarit pravara hataki nama bhavayo virvena yatra Chitrabhanu Matarishvana Samityamana Ojasa Pipatitana Nishyutam Hatakyam Hatakakyam Sumanam Bhushanena Suvendra Vagodeshu Purushaha Saha Purushi Purushivir The next planet below Atala is Vitala, where Lord Shiva, who is known as the master of gold mines, lives with his personal associates, the gods and similar divinities. Lord Shiva, as the progenitor, engages in sex with Bhavani, the progenitress, to produce living entities, and from the mixture of their vital fluid, the river named Hartaki is generated. When fire, being made to blaze by the wind, drinks of this river and then sizzles and spits it out, it produces gold called Hataka. The demons who live on that planet with their wives separate themselves with various ornaments made from that gold, and thus they live there very happily. Purport, it appears that when Baba and Bhavani, Lord Shiva and his wife, unite sexually, the emulsification of their secretions creates a chemical which, when heated by fire, can produce gold. It is said that the alchemists of the medieval age tried to prepare gold from base metal, and Sri Siddhartha Goswami also states that when bell metal is treated with mercury, it can produce gold. Sri Siddhartha Goswami mentions this in regard to the initiation of lokas men to turn them into brahmanas. Siddhartha Goswami said, Ita kam janatam yati kamsyam rasa vidhanata tata diksha vidhanena dvijatam jayate vidhanam. As one can transform kamsa or bell metal into gold by treating it with mercury, one can also turn a low-born man into a brahmana by initiating him properly into Vaishnava activities. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to turn the lectures and the avanas into real brahmanas by properly initiating them and stopping them from engaging in meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex and gambling. One who stops these four principles of sinful activity and chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can certainly become a pure Brahma through the process of bona fide initiation as suggested by Sri Siddhartha Goswami. Apart from this, if one takes a hint from this verse and learns how to mix mercury with bell metal by properly heating and melting them, one can get gold very cheaply. The alchemists of the medieval age tried to manufacture gold, but they were unsuccessful, perhaps because they did not follow the right instructions. Om Agyanatimirandasya Vyanjana Sulakaya Chachurum Vitvandrum Tasmai Sri Gurudeva Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karoti Vajalam Tamam Gayate Garim Yakripa Tamam Bande Sri Guru Dinatayam. This appears to be a very simple process. Although, rather unique, to say the least. But the procreative activities of Shiva and his consort, Bhavani, their procreative fluids create a river. Which, when heated by fire, produces gold. So enough gold that the people who live there, the Asuras, the Purushas and the Purushapi, they wear the gold and are very happy. Suvarnam Bhushanena Asura Indra Avarodeshu Purushaha Purushabhi Tarayanti. Saha with Purushabhi Tarayanti. So, Prabhupada talks about creating God. Via the alchemical process, he mentions it from time to time, and it seems to be, it's referred to in the scripture, in the Shastra, that there is a way to make gold from bell metal and mercury. And Prabhupada mentions here that the alchemists of the medieval age tried to manufacture gold, but they were unsuccessful. Of course, if they were happy, it would be a very popular method of becoming rich, I would imagine. Because Prabhupada mentions, Prabhupada qualifies this by saying perhaps they did not follow the right instructions. Which leads us to the point of making gold. And Prabhupada refers to verse quoted by Sanatana Goswami, yata kanchana tam yati kansyam rasa viharanataha. And of course this is a reference to converting bell metal into gold. So it's referred to in the Shastra, it's referred to by Sanatana Goswami. And so this is where this notion of converting base metals into gold. And the example is given, tata dipcha vidhanena. So the example is given just as one, because this is an art that's lost, obviously. It's referred to, but there's nobody in this day and age who knows how to convert mercury and bell metal into gold. But just as the example is given, tata diksha vidhanena, by diksha, by initiation, by the initiation process, one can dvijatvam jayate rinam. Rinam means, what does rinam mean? What does rinam refer to? Rinam. Humans, isn't it? Men? Rinam. Let's look at it. It's in the local town in many places. Rinam. Of the human being, yeah, Rinam means humans, Rinam. So, this is one converts bell metal and mercury into gold. One can convert a base character into a golden form, effulgent form, one can convert. So, tata, just as diksha vidhanena, by following the rules of initiation, one can also turn a low-born man into a Brahmana by initiating him properly into Vaishnava activities. So that's the vidha, right?
The rules.
The rules. It's a fairly simple process, actually. Initiation means following the rules. Disciple means, you know, accepting the discipline of the spiritual master. And that discipline is what then converts a gross or base personality into an elevated devotee. So Prabhupada says that the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is trying to turn the lectures and the yavanas into real brahmanas by properly initiating them and stopping them from engaging in meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. So, yama and niyama, right? This is all yoga systems have this, and bhakti yoga is no exception. There are things that you do, and there's things that you avoid. Positive engagements and negative prohibitions. Things to accept and things to give up. But first of all, the initiation and the chanting of Hare Krishna. One who stops these four principles of sinful activity and chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra can certainly become a pure Brahmana through the process of bona fide initiation as suggested by the Sura Sankhya Goswami. So this is important. This is an instruction from the Hari Bhakti Vilas. Yati Kamsyam Rasavidanata Tata Diksha Vidanena Dvijatvam. One becomes twice born. Jayate Vinam. Now, Prabhupada mentions, actually, Narada Muni mentions, interestingly, that we take three births. Three births. Dvijatvam is the second birth. Right? But that's not the perfection. Interesting. Right? But of course it's the beginning. Right? Diksha vidhanena. Diksha is the beginning. It's the beginning. So what are the three births? We're thinking, we don't come, oh, that's good, second born, oh, I've made it. Actually, devotees usually think, I'm initiated, now I've made it. But no, actually, it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Initiation is just the beginning. Devotees tend to think, oh, now I'm initiated, now I'm so advanced. But we have to be careful. Because usually, Prabhupada makes sure that there are the purest jhana, the beginning purifying activities. Right? And so before we initiate somebody, we test them. Prabhupada said we test the devotees first to see whether they can chant 16 rounds and follow the rules. Right? Then we give first initiation, and then second initiation, right? Which is interesting because that's actually the three births in one sense, right? Covered, right? What's the first birth?
Biological.
Yes. By seminal discharge and the combination of the egg, what's the technical term?
Ovum
and the zygote, right? There's a combination, and that combination creates the beginning of life. So that's considered, and of course then there's the birth from the womb. That's considered the first birth. Then the second birth is Dvijatvam, where one receives spiritual initiation. It's a reawakening of one's spiritual identity. And That's the initiation by the spiritual master, the first initiation, if you like. Then it's interesting, the third initiation, what is the third initiation? Oh. I'll read this verse. A civilized, and this is civilized human beings. So, you know, generally speaking, we come from uncivilized backgrounds. And why is that? Prabhupada says it's because there's no recognition of this whole process. And that a real civilization begins the purificatory processes. In other words, civilized society works to remove the contamination of material association. Adatto Brahma Jigyasa. When we go to the human form of life, we shouldn't be asking questions like the birds and the bees. You know, where can I get something to eat? Where can I get shelter? Where's a mate? How do I protect myself from my enemies? There's a competition for resources in the animal species and in the human form of life. Very much so. And humans behaving like animals are considered dwi pada pashu, which means two-legged animals. So, what differentiates humans as animals and humans as civilized human beings is this inquiry into the purpose of life and embracing or engaging in activities that free the individual from the influence of material association, whereby one thinks, you know, of oneself as purely a material product. And you know, in that kind of mentality, I am the body, aham eti, right? I am mine. And competing with others, fighting, and so forth, like animals. So, what distinguishes civilized human beings from uncivilized is that pursuit of one's identity separate from the material. Looking, well, you can't separate the material from the spiritual. But there's the pursuit of understanding or just being able to discern the difference between matter and spirit and identify one's self or one's being as purely spirit, spirit and soul. It's of course covered in a material body. Right? You know, the example is given of the spirit soul is pure, just like water that falls from the clouds in the sky is pure, clear, crystal clear. Without pollution, of course. But when it hits the ground, the water becomes mixed up with the dirt. And what have you got? Water mixed up with dirt makes what?
Dirty
water. Mud. What does it make?
It becomes dirty water.
Dirty water. Mud. Yes, water becomes mud. Water in dirt makes mud. Now, you know, we know that there's water in there, but it's covered by the dirt, or it's mixed up with the dirt. So how to distinguish the two? So similarly also, the spirit soul, originally inserted by the father into the womb of the mother to combine with the egg, then produces the body, gradually over time. But the essential ingredient is the spirit soul. Without the spirit soul, what have we got? We sometimes see a child as stillborn. No life. All the features are there, but no life. And it doesn't matter what you do, you can't, even though the body's formed, you can't get it going again because it lacks the spirit. It was there for some time, but it's gone. Huh? A tragedy for the mother and the father who are contemplating the future life of their child, but it's cut off due to karma, some reactions. So the essential element in the body is the spirit soul. Without the spirit soul, we've just got a stillborn body. Right? So the culture of the Aryans, Aryan culture means that culture that cultivates spiritual knowledge and values spiritual achievements over and above just some mundane effort to accumulate. Like Prabhupada says, you know, like Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that the materialistic people worship the demigods to get material benefits, or they worship another man, and then when they get some position or some wealth or some influence or whatever, then they become happy without understanding the temporality of such boons or benefits. Right? It all goes, it all just disappears. Right? Just like when you get money, you spend money, and then how do you feel? How do you feel?
Sometimes happy, sometimes morose.
Yeah, happy while you're spending it. Yoo-hoo! Let's go shopping. Right? We're having fun. But then you spend the money, you got a few trinkets or whatever. The latest iPhone, there's a new iPhone out now. Everybody should buy it. Right? So we think, oh, I got the new iPhone. Wow, I feel so good. But did you discover that the new iPhone is just as bad as the previous one? And it's still got the same bugs. So there's another couple of bugs that they've introduced, and life is just the same. It's a struggle. Huh? Life was so much better when we bought our new Nokia, right? But now the new Nokia is just a dud. Huh? So, you know, material acquisition is not satisfying. It just doesn't satisfy. Whereas, you know, real satisfaction comes from spiritual advancement and an understanding of one's actual identity. This is real peace, if you like. To become aware of and situated in one's, you know, original identity. Because we understand we've got a body, material body, we should engage that appropriately. And why we adhere to some degree the Vanashram principles. But more important is that the spiritual realization, awakening, if you like. And the spiritual culture, Prabhupada says, it begins with Gavadana Samskara, right? This is where it really begins. Where the purificatory ceremonies are performed pre-conception. Right? This is mind-blowing when you think about it. For, you know, modern culture, having children, you know, they just happen. And, you know, it's a bit like Russian roulette. You're not quite sure what you're going to get. But the Vanashram, Aryan culture or the Vedic culture understands that we should attract a purified or a qualified soul into the womb of the mother. Right? And so there's this subtle process. And a lot of these activities are very, very subtle. They're operating on this, on the spiritual platform, or on the platform of identifying the person with the spirit entity, right? The spirit soul. And of course, you know, with this notion that this is not the first birth that you've had. We've had many births, and these births are an opportunity to degrade, which means going for, and we're seeing here in Bhagavatam, go down into the lower planetary systems and suffer, or be elevated. Right? And really, be elevated enough just to be on the human platform. Really, that's all you need to do. Because go to the heavenly planets and you just waste time. Go down to the heavenly planets, wasting time. Right? But in the human species, especially in the middle planetary systems, which is where we are, and where great opportunities are afforded to us, that opportunity is to come in contact with those whose culture is to create or to identify with one's spiritual identity and use the material facility like the facility that it is. It's an opportunity to realize one's spiritual identity. Now, Papa mentions it in the past, but maybe knows what he was in his previous lifetime and knows what he will become in his next lifetime. Right? This is what we should know, we should understand. And that's quite possible by this process. So, pre the first birth is the Garbhadhana Samskara, which is, you know, attracting a soul who's made progress through the different phases of life, and it's going to be that point where they can take advantage of the human form. Otherwise, we see, you know, people in the human form of life, but they're just crazy. Right? They're just crazy. Go for a chapel walk around the city of Port Phillip. Even this is quite a world. We're living in a relatively affluent area. Right? If you tell people that you live in Albert Park in Melbourne, it's like, okay. You've made it. Somewhat. Of course, the address has to be 197 Bank Street. That's where you really make it. That's what then you might have considered, you might be considered to have made it, listen to uniform life. So, you know, I was trying to, you know, it's unfortunate, but it's a fact, you know, you see people walking down the street. Got a uniform class, but just crazy, talking to themselves, swearing, shouting. And, and some kind of experience I had yesterday. So, this is the first birth. And in the Aryan culture, it's, you know, it's prepared for, so that the birth is a qualified soul. They can then take advantage of the human form of life. And of course, that in a civilized society, then that means at a young age, the children are initiated. They're introduced to a spiritual master, and they're taught the basic principles of miracle life, effectively. Samadhi, Master Pass, or Chum. Dhyana, not what is it? Chanti Rajya Mechara Jnana Vijnana Astakya, Astikya. Astikya. Astikya means an ordered, structured life according to Vedic principles. Right? And here, the Vidha, the Vidhi, the rules. So, Dvija Vidha Nena, right? Twice more. So there's so the first birth is from the womb of the parents. Second birth is initiation. Then third birth, interestingly, Narayana mentions. So a civilized human being has three kinds of births. Kim Janma Bhis Tribhir Veha Shokra Savitra Yagikai. Right. Interesting. Shokra means from the semen. Savitra means by initiation. Right. First initiation. Right. And then Yagikai, by becoming a perfect Brahmana. And Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, interestingly, even if one is a Brahmana and is qualified with all the brahminical qualifications, he is considered degraded if he is averse to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this Jagyaka means, you know, Jagya is Vishnu. And so this Jagya, what is it? Shokra Savitra Jagyaka, right? This Jagya means the third birth is to perform sacrifice to Vishnu. That's when we really awaken our spiritual identity, right? It's not, I mean, it's good to come to understand that one's not the body, that one's spiritual by nature. But the real perfection of that identification is to engage in service, devotional service, bhakti. Service to the Lord. That's the real birth, the real awakening, right? Is to come to the, what is it? Brahma Buddha, Prasanatma, Naso Chati, Nakam Chati. This realization that one's not the body, that one's spiritual by nature, and then become detached from the things of the material world. This is, but then to engage in devotional service. In other words, it's not, you know, there's this notion that I realize my spiritual identity and then I just go into the forest and do nothing. Which is kind of what Arjuna wanted to do. Right? But Krishna said, no. And of course, the perfection of action is to engage in devotional service. So we see in the devotees don't retire. Prabhupada discourages, Bhaktisiddhanta Swami Thakur discouraged retirement, right? Retirement is at retirement age, but otherwise, out, active. Like even Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada wanted to kind of enter into his bhajan bhakti and but he told the devotees, I want to die fighting like Arjuna. and you know, Prabhupada warned, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur warned against this notion of becoming a bhakti. You know, and you know, the history books have this litany of fall downs of the bhaktis. Which is indicative of the just the qualification of people in Kali. You know, we're not not will. The point of this, you know, we can, or perhaps not you, but speaking for myself, I came from a somewhat pious family, but there was no Gaudiya Sanskara, I'm sure, I'm pretty sure of that. My parents didn't know what it was. You'd be lucky to be born, you know, more than 9 months after your parents got married, right? My mum and dad were married in January 1954, and I was born in June 1955. So, somewhat pious family, according to Carl Yuga, you know, scale. But many people don't have that, even. So we come from, you know, this. But even if a person doesn't come from that, call it that culture background, still, Prabhupada makes a point, and Siddhartha Goswami makes this point, that just as we can convert bell metal to gold using the mercury in the alchemical process, that's now him. Otherwise people would be running around looking. Well, people were in the medieval, this is why it's Prabhupada mentions, in medieval times they were looking for this process. Where is it? So we can make gold. Because they didn't find it. But similarly, we can convert gross people, regardless of what their background is, through this process of initiation. Right? And following the rules and regulations. You know, this wasn't always accepted by members of the Gaudiya Math. Prabhupada embraced this implicit, you know. But not always accepted by the followers of Sanatana Goswami. You know, there's Prabhupada's disciples were often criticized. Oh, the lectures of the artists, they can never be purified. Huh? I've heard stories from one of Prabhupada's disciples who, in the mat, if his shadow touched the other devotees, they don't take bath. Because he's a white body, Malecha, Malecha and the other. Contaminant, but here it says, no. Tata dvija vidharena. You follow the rules, right? Regardless of what your birth is, you can be elevated to the level of a Brahma. Right? And Prabhupada had strong faith in that. He did not flinch from the conviction. Right? He didn't flinch from the conviction that he would, you know, despite the fact that he left India practically with nothing except his books, and then arrived in, you know, when the customs man asked Prabhupada how long he wanted to stay for, and Prabhupada wasn't sure what to say, I think he said, was it 2 months? And he said, all right, 2 months. Probably should have said, oh, for a year. He just didn't know. So, you know, but he didn't, even though he had his doubts, now Prabhupada mentions in the little I read, it describes how he would go to the Sydney Steamship Company to look and see when the next boat was returning to India. That's a Prabhupada had his doubts. Wasn't, or he was challenged, put it that way. Was not easy for him, but still he stuck at it. And so, you know, the initiation is just the beginning. And then there's that acceptance of the rules and regulations for Diets won't do, practically speaking, although there's more than that. Right? In the beginning of the Nectar, in the Nectar of Devotion, in the description of the 64 items of devotional service, the first one is to take shelter. The second one is to inquire. But then there's a, Rupa Goswami says, then you have to be prepared to accept things that you might not want. And give up things that you want to hang on to. Right? This is the beginning. This is just the beginning of following these rules and regulations, chanting 16 rounds, following the regulated principles, you know, avoiding. And that, by following that, then one can come to the point of dvija, right? Twice born, effectively. And to this point of jagyika, you know, and Prabhupada instituted that with the initiation. So we test people, chant 16 rounds, follow the principles. And a lot more than that, actually. You know, if you're in the ashram, what are you tested for? What are you tested for? Mamaha?
Yes, Guru.
What are you tested for? 16 rounds, 4 regulated principles, what else? If you're living in the ashram.
Which ashram?
Huh?
Which ashram?
Which ashram?
Any ashram.
Yeah.
Service.
Service. Yes, service. Get up early. Do what you're told. Cooperate with others. Right? Are we tested? There's quite a bit of testing going on there, we think, you know. Oh, well, you know, living in the ashram, you've got life easy. Well, it's pretty easy, isn't it?
Too easy, very easy.
Yeah, it's very easy. That's what I tell people. Yeah. And it is. For those who have that natural propensity, it is, but it's also challenging. It's not easy, actually. Realistically, it's not easy. Huh?
Yeah, I think there is a level of challenge according to nature.
Well, if it was so easy, right, how come we don't, there's no queue to join, to line up and get in the front door? Right? It's a particular, you know, for people who do it, you can't stop them. Right? You can't stop them. They'll do anything to get in. Let me in.
No.
Oh, come on, please, let me in. So, it's a test. It's a test. And a test before one gets initiated, and a test before one gets the Brahminical initiation, which is like listen to this. This is pretty far. I was just looking for that verse, and this one reference came up. If one is initiated by a proper person, he can be accepted as twice born immediately. Immediately. Right? Even if he's just a bhakta. You know, even devotees just initiated. Hardly know anything. No? But Prabhupada says here, initiated by a proper person can be accepted as twice born immediately. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore offer the student his first initiation, allowing him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra regularly and following the regulated principles, one becomes qualified to be initiated as a Brahmana. Because unless one is a qualified Brahmana, he cannot be allowed to worship Lord Vishnu. That's that Yajnika, right? That's really our second initiation. And interesting what Prabhupada says here. And of course, you know, Prabhupada says here, we offer the student first initiation and allow him to chant the Maha Mantra. But this is all, this was all in the context of living in the ashram, doing service, going on Harina, doing book distribution, doing deity worship, you know. All pretty much 24-hour engagement in Krishna consciousness, right? So it's not just chanting Hare Krishna and following the principles. It's a package deal, right? Because we're having this debate at the moment, you know. Should we test the devotees so much to get first initiation? Maybe we should just be liberal. Whereas my point is, you know, the householders don't get the same rigorous training that we got. Even though Prabhupada said we just tested by chanting Hare Krishna and following regulated principles, they're in the ashram. And that's like being in the you know,
army camp.
In what?
In an army camp.
In an army camp, yeah. Sure, you just, it's more than that, right? So that's why my personal opinion is we should, it's going to take longer for, and you know, Prabhupada in Melbourne gave this example, very interesting example. He told the story, now I think about it, he told the story of the king and the yogi, right? And the king promised the yogi that if he stayed in the river all night, he would give him a reward. But then in the morning, when it came, the yogi was able to stay in the river, and the king should have given him, or the Raja should have given the reward. He thought of a way to get out of it, and then he said, look at that lamp burning in the temple spire. You know, he said, you got heat from that lamp, so you cheated, so I'm not going to give you your reward. But the minister of the king, he thought, that's cheating. He should give the yogi the reward that he promised. So then one day the Raja wanted to go hunting. So he said, okay, let's get breakfast together and then we can get going. So when it was time to have breakfast, the Raja said, where's breakfast? And the minister said, just now coming. It's on the stove, it's just now coming. He said, oh, all right. Then another 15 minutes, he said, where's the breakfast? Let's go. And the minister said, just now coming. So eventually the Raja got upset, he came in and said, what's going on with the Khichdi? Where's the Khichdi? So he went to the kitchen and he saw that they had this fire on the ground and then this pot on a tripod. Pot on a tripod. And in the pot was, the Khichdi was in the pot, but the fire was way below, so the Khichdi wasn't even falling. What are you doing? You can't cook Khichdi like this. So the minister said, well, if the yogi can get heat from the lamp in the temple, then we should be able to cook Khichdi like this. So the king said, oh, okay, all right, okay, I get it. So similarly, you know, there's a difference. If you're right on the heat of the flame, then you'll cook the Khichdi. But if you've got the Khichdi, it takes longer, a lot longer. So we shouldn't discount we shouldn't devalue the experience of living in an Islam ashram. Of course, the householders also go through their own purification. Having family and doing all those things, not easy. It's purifying also. But there is a difference. There's a difference. And I think we need to acknowledge that for the benefit of everybody, right? And so testing has to be there. The Prabhupada says that he uses that principle. Now, okay, by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following related principles, one becomes qualified to be initiated as a Brahmana, because unless one is a qualified Brahmana, he cannot be allowed to worship Lord Vishnu. So that's that third initiation, effectively, right? This is called Yogika Janma. Now, listen to this. In our Krishna consciousness society, remember this for our operations meetings. Unless one is twice initiated, first by chanting Hare Krishna and second by the Gayatri Mantra, he is not allowed to enter the kitchen. Well, not allowed to enter the kitchen or DT room to execute duties. Get that, Mama? Twice initiated to go into the kitchen. However, when one is elevated to the platform on which he can worship the deity, his previous birth does not matter. Chandalo pi tuja sreshto hari bhakti parayanaha hari bhakti vihinascha dvijo pi swa pachat maha. Even if one is born in the family of a chandala, if one engages in the devotional service of the Lord, he becomes the best of brahmanas. But even a Brahmana who is devoid of devotional service is on the level of the lowest dog eater. Ooh, ouch! Interesting, huh? If a person is advanced in devotional service, it does not matter whether he was born in a jungle family, he becomes purified. As Brahmana said, Vipra Trisha Guni Yuta Aravinda Nava Padaravinda Vimu. Pararavinda vimukkats svapa chamarishtam. Even if one is a Brahmana and is qualified with all the Brahminical qualifications, he is considered degraded if he is averse to worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, it's interesting, this reminds me. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, if you worship Radha and Krishna, but don't worship Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and the Panchatattva, you're a demon. You're an asura. Interesting, yeah? Something that we probably don't. We don't throw that around too much. So interesting. Very, very interesting, these points about three births. Three births. Shokra, Savitra, and Jagdikam. To become the best of human beings. And of course, the best of human beings is on the transcendental. Brahma Buddha Prasanna. But basically, from that point you engage in personal service. So the point of Brahman realization is, you know, to understand that we're not the body, that we're spiritual by nature. But then what do we do? And this is really what we teach in ISKCON. What we teach is how to act on the spiritual platform. Right? And this is the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, just as Krishna's activities are transcendental without material reaction, right? So similarly, the activities of the devotees in Krishna's service are also similarly transcendental. It is not a material activity, what we do. It may look the same or similar. Now, not similar, like cleaning, washing the pots, going to the bank, Prabhupada says, printing. Prabhupada mentions how he was criticized for going in the material world, effectively. Going to the bank, going to the printing press. just engaging in kind of, you know, business activity, selling books, right? But these activities are not at all mundane material, not at all. They're purely for the liberation of others, out of compassion. You know, I was just thinking last night how Srila Prabhupada came to save me, right? And all of us, right? But he came for us. And he didn't have to. And he didn't have to, right? But why did he do that? Because of his compassion, right? Deep-seated, deep-rooted compassion. So, it begins, you know, it begins with, we've got the human form of life. And that's a huge boon, right? But then we get the association of the devotees, and with the association of the devotees we get the first initiation. And then the real birth, if you like, that third dvija is good. But there's more to it, right? It's trijanma, right? Three births. And that's that jangika birth, where all of our activities are performed as a sacrifice for Vishnu. That's real. That's when you really made it, if you want to have made it. And of course, we're given that pretty much as soon as we come in contact with the devotees, we're given that. As soon as we enter the Harinam party, huh? As soon as we start chanting Hare Krishna to the devotees, we're in it. Which is why we feel, wow, this is great. This is what I've been looking for. Huh? This is what makes the brahmacharis go berserk. Huh? We have to get a bucket of water and throw it on them. Calm down. Cool, guys. Right? But that's it. We get it. So we appreciate the liberation, if you like. Just when we're absorbed, when we become part of the Sankirtan party, then automatically we feel enlivened, invigorated, enthused. So that you can't stop yourself from dancing and shouting out and calling. These are actually symptoms of advancement. The beginnings, we will say the beginnings of advancement. Does anybody have any comments or questions?
I was thinking like the last birth was like going back to being unborn.
Humble?
Unborn.
Unborn.
It's like the last birth, but you go back to your unborn original position, in a way.
Yes. Yes.
This is
our
last birth,
right? Unborn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not born. We're never born.
Yeah.
Na jayate namriyate vakata chin, isn't it? Vakadachit. For the soul, never born, never dies. Yeah, this is our philosophy. And that's why we jump up and down and realize, yo! This is it. This is what I've been looking for. I spent all my lives looking for this opportunity.
It's just a comment regarding what you mentioned about the from the beginning devotees are.
But take your mask off too, because I have difficulty hearing.
It's a comment what you mentioned from the very beginning. Every newcomer is trained or inculcated to have the proper understanding, the consciousness, because it's not just following the principles and the rules, it's the understanding why we follow them. So that is the transformation.
The purpose.
And the effect, the transformation of the process itself.
Yeah.
Awakening the proper consciousness.
Yes. Yes, the consciousness. It is. That's why it's called the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Mm. Yeah. And the rules and regulations are meant to engender that consciousness. Yeah. That's why we don't let people in the kitchen who don't have that consciousness. Ideally, because they're going in the kitchen and they're looking at the offering and they're thinking, oh, that's what we're going to have, a dinner tonight, beauty. But actually, that's the wrong consciousness. Right? And so what Prabhupada says, we keep them out until they've got the right consciousness. Jagika. Everything is done as a sacrifice to Vishnu. And you see, you don't see that externally. You don't see it. Unless you're advanced. Right? An advanced devotee can see the mentality of others. Looking at the behavior of a person, you can actually see it. That's very subtle, actually. It's not understood. It's not understood very well, unless one makes progress.
For that reason, it's a training, required time and purification.
Yes.
To have a sustainable level of consistency.
Yes.
Yeah. If you allow me another question, it's regarding to the gold.
Gold.
Yes. In the description of this text that you read. Also, it's mentioned in the Eighth Canto when Mohini Murti appears and Rushira was enchanted by her beauty. He also ejaculated us.
Yeah.
That's semen, and that became gold as well. And it's the gold that we have.
This is Lord Shiva is a very elevated personality, not to be imitated.
Type of gold, because gold is considered also auspicious in
deity
worship.
And yeah. Something to be meditated on, perhaps not fully understood. Yeah, gold is valuable. And also unnecessary passing of semen is considered wasting valuable life energy. Right? So it's given the retention of and the restraining of the of unnecessary, engagement in these activities of sense gratification are considered to be conserving your energy, right? And that energy is meant to be used for spiritual progress, for making spiritual advancement, right? But yes, making gold in this fashion, I think we'll be doing it. We don't know the process. And another we is qualified as Lord Shiva and his wife.
Exclusive capacity for just those personalities, not everybody.
Okay, it's getting late. I was only going to talk for half an hour. Bhagavad Shri Bhagavatam Kijasudha Bhakti Jai Gaurav.